Welcome to Wellness Your Way. I'm your host, Megan Lyons, and I've helped thousands of people find their own way to wellness. Wellness Your Way is an extension of that work, aimed to help you find your unique path to feeling your very best. Each week, we'll go through tactical strategies you can use to improve your health, happiness, and quality of life. So grab a mug of tea or lace up your walking shoes. We're about to dive in. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to episode 180 of Wellness Your Way. You know, 180 really feels like quite a few episodes, and I have you to thank for all of these. I was actually just interviewed today for a podcast about podcasting, How Meta, and they were asking me about my success in podcasting. And I kind of stepped back and said, oh my goodness, I didn't even realize I had success in podcasting because all I do every week is just talk to my own computer and hope someone out there is listening. And thanks to all of you who share episodes with your friends, which is so, so valuable to me, and who leave ratings and reviews and who share on Instagram and do all those things. This podcast actually does experience success and reaches so many people who I never will even have the opportunity to meet in person. And that is just so incredible. So thank you for continuing to listen and to share and for letting me know when you like episodes, because truly, it means the world and helps me feel like I'm not just speaking to my computer all alone. Well, that being said, I have a full episode as usual for you, and both of the topics we'll cover today stem from conversations with my own patients and clients about the things that they are needing and the things that they are learning in their journeys. We're going to talk about an interesting study on pre-surgery nutrition, and then we're going to talk all about fiber, which frankly, it baffles me that we've gotten to episode 180 without having an episode fully dedicated to fiber. But here we are. This is the time and place for it. Let's go ahead and dive in. In health news you can use, I am excited to discuss this interesting study out of Ohio State University in March of 2024. It is a rat study, which is not a human study. We are not just large rats. Human studies still need to be done based on this and have been done to some extent, although this is an interesting twist on the specific topic. But I thought this study was still important to share here because I honestly help so many patients who are heading into surgery, and they're very often unaware that their diet leading up to surgery has a huge impact on the surgical outcomes, on wound healing, on recovery time, on incidents of complications and extended hospital stays, and on all kinds of lingering side effects related to inflammation coming out of a surgery. I feel this is so important that I actually partnered with a team of doctors, health researchers, and entrepreneurs for an app called Mend Better, which is still available in the App Store and is used in many surgical patients and hospitals around the country, that helps people prepare for surgery via nutrition, exercise, lifestyle, mindset, et cetera. So I invested my time and energy in that because I think it's so important and people really need to know. Anyway, back to our study, which is one little piece of that, the whole pie of pre-surgical nutrition, anti-inflammatory pie, if you will. Back to this study, the researchers gave rats this three-day very high fat, poor quality diet right before their surgery. So low quality fats, which can be inflammatory, as you know. And what happened is when these rats had the 3 days of poor quality fats before surgery, they actually had memory impairment for weeks after surgery. And the researchers split this up into young rats and old rats, hypothesizing that only the older rats would experience this, but the young rats did as well. No one was immune. The researchers were actually able to link this memory impairment to a specific type of inflammation, and even for the nerdy ones out there like me, a specific innate immune receptor called TLR4. It seems like the high-fat diet combined with the insult or the hit on your system of the surgery, these compounded together and activated this inappropriate immune response that caused inflammation and that caused the memory impairment. So interestingly, they actually had another group of rats who had the poor quality fat diet, but also took omega-3 supplements that were high in DHA. We hear of the omega-3s, the two primary ones, DHA and EPA. And this supplement was high in DHA. The rats took this for 4 weeks prior to surgery, and this reversed the negative impact of the high-fat diet. In fact, the exact statement I wrote down to quote is, quote, "It blunted the neuroinflammatory response to surgery and prevented development of persistent memory deficits." So just taking this omega-3 supplement reversed any memory damage from a high-fat diet, which is super cool. Now, if you're going into surgery, your doctor's going to tell you to get off of all supplements before surgery. And I understand why they do this. No doctor has the time to go through every single supplement you're taking. This is just a blanket approach they take. If they're paying attention to research from decades ago, they'll say, especially get off of fish oil, because at one time we thought this increased the risk for bleeding. But all of the current research shows otherwise. I am very much not telling you to go against your doctor. Please listen to your doctor's requests for you. I am not a surgeon, that is for sure. But I would question this assumption, and I encourage you to question this assumption from your medical team. If I personally were to go into surgery in a few weeks, I would absolutely be talking to my surgical team about keeping in the fish oil for the many benefits of wound healing, inflammation, and recovery. And now with this study, even prevention of memory loss or memory impairment from surgery. So if you're curious, I'll link to the study in the show notes. All right, my friends, it's time for the veggies of the matter. And in this particular case, the veggies of the matter is a very appropriately named segment title, because our segment is all about fiber. And as you'll hear, veggies are some of the most prominent sources of fiber. Now, if I had to summarize my nutrition philosophy in 5 words or less, which hopefully I never have to do because that's really hard, but if I did, fiber would certainly be one of those top 5 words that I would use. I can hardly have any conversation about health, from gut health to heart health, from body composition to blood sugar balance, any of these things that people ask me about, I can hardly talk about it without talking about the importance of fiber. However, when I say to my patients and clients, oh, be sure you get more fiber this week or something like that, I'm often confronted with kind of a blank stare, like, fiber? You want me to take a pill? And so I realized that this isn't second nature for everyone. And that's why we're here talking about it. We are going to go through all of the benefits of fiber, how it can positively impact your health, how it can improve your lab values, how it can alleviate some common symptoms, all of these amazing things from the nutritional powerhouse of fiber. So let's start with what even is fiber. Fiber is a type of carbohydrate. I know some of you are thinking, ah, carbs are bad. Carbs are not bad. Fiber is a type of carbohydrate that is fantastic. I love fiber. I want you to have more fiber, and carbs in general are not bad. So just cool your jets there. But fiber is a type of carbohydrate that's found in plant-based foods that our bodies cannot digest. Yes, you heard that correctly. Our bodies cannot digest fiber. We'll get to that in a moment. Instead of actually breaking down and absorbing it like we do with other components of food, fiber passes through the digestive system pretty much intact, which actually provides a huge number of health benefits along the way. Now, fiber comes in two main forms, soluble and insoluble fiber. Soluble fiber dissolves in water to form like a gel-like substance. So if you've ever put chia seeds or flax seeds in water and just left it there, it turns into this kind of like gelatinous, gooey texture. That's soluble fiber. This slows down digestion, which is a good thing, and helps regulate our blood sugar level. So it gives the body not that blood sugar spike and crash, but just a gentle increase and decrease when we have more of this soluble fiber. Some soluble fiber-rich foods include oats and barley, apples, oranges, raspberries, a huge one, beans, peas, lentils, flax seeds, chia seeds. These all have great sources of soluble fiber. Insoluble fiber, on the other hand, it doesn't dissolve in water. Just think about broccoli, which I'll give as an example. If you just put that in a glass of water, it's not going to dissolve even if it sits there for 24 hours. It's just going to sit there. And that's what it does in our digestive tract too. The fibrous particles don't dissolve into water. Instead, they add bulk to your stool, which is good, promotes regular bowel movements, prevents constipation, all kinds of good GI function, but also what we'll talk about in a moment supports cholesterol, toxin excretion, things like that. Now, foods that are high in insoluble fiber include whole grains like brown rice and quinoa, nuts, seeds, avocados, and vegetables like leafy greens, broccoli, carrots, and cauliflower, and many other vegetables. All vegetables have fiber, which is why I'll say over and over, veggies, 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 veggies. How do you want me to increase fiber? Veggies is how I want you to increase fiber is almost always the answer. So what are the benefits of fiber? Why would we even want to increase the benefits? These are just some of them. Digestive health, number one. I've talked about how fiber promotes regular bowel movements, prevents constipation, supports this healthy digestive system, adds bulk to stools, promotes gut motility, which is like movement of the gut, which is very good for us. All that digestive stuff is number one. Number two, heart health. Many people don't think of fiber and heart health as connected, but they are so closely connected. Soluble fiber especially helps lower our cholesterol levels by binding to the cholesterol in the digestive tract and removing it from the body, which reduces risk of heart disease, stroke, etc. Now, without enough fiber in our digestive tract, the cholesterol can be reabsorbed and brought back into circulation from the small intestine. And if someone's looking to lower their LDL cholesterol, for example, we don't want it brought back into circulation. We don't want more and more of it circulating. We want to get it out of there, excrete it. And that's what fiber helps to do. Number three, inflammation and toxin control. Very similar to cholesterol, the liver and digestive tract are working in conjunction with each other to eliminate toxins and the resulting inflammation that happens when they're in our circulation. And fiber helps these toxins be quickly excreted from the body, kind of like a magnet latches onto toxins and helps get it out through your stool instead of being reabsorbed. Next benefit is blood sugar control. Fiber slows the absorption of sugar in the bloodstream, which prevents those spikes of blood sugar and reduces the risk of insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, etc. Next one is weight management. High fiber foods are more filling. I always say to my clients jokingly, but it's actually quite serious, it's literally impossible to gain too much weight or gain weight at all from eating too much broccoli. I think the average human would have to eat like 50 cups of broccoli a day or something like that to get enough calories to gain weight. And no one's going to do that. Goodness knows I love broccoli, but even I'm not going to sit here and eat 50 cups of raw broccoli. That is a stomach ache waiting to happen. But the point here is that we want to be full. And if we're trying to alter body composition, we want to be full of nourishing, nutrient-dense foods and less of the calorie-dense foods, less of the processed food, sugar, etc. And having more fiber helps us curb our appetite and promotes that weight maintenance or body composition control. Last is gut health, which we've talked about a few times already, but fiber actually acts as a prebiotic, which are basically like foods for the bacteria in your gut microbiome. So these prebiotic fibers feed the gut bacteria and promote that health, that vibrancy, that variety and diversity of your gut microbiome. And this supports immune function, supports mood regulation, reduces the risk of gastrointestinal disorders. All kinds of good stuff happens when we support our microbiome, as we've talked about many times here on Wellness Your Way. So those are some of the benefits. How much should we get per day? Now, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, which we could talk all day about whether these recommendations are the best, but let's just go with it for now. They recommend that adult women consume around 25 grams of fiber per day, and adult men consume a bit more than that, 35 grams of fiber per day. It does depend based on age, activity level, overall health, all kinds of things. But I will say the research shows that more of our ancestors, our Paleolithic ancestors and other groups of our ancestors, consumed about 100 grams of fiber per day. Some studies estimate that it's even higher than that. So to me, 25, that's like a bare minimum. I'm encouraging myself and my clients to go for 40 grams or more of fiber per day. And if you don't know how much fiber that is, you could just Google a chart of high fiber foods, or if you use an app like Chronometer for a day here or there, you could understand how much fiber you're getting. But that's quite a lot of vegetables. You see on Instagram how many vegetables I am eating, and it takes a good focus on fiber in order to hit that 40 plus grams per day. Now, as you're increasing, it's really important to gradually increase your fiber intake. If you go from 2 grams a day to 40 grams a day, you will experience bloating, GI distress, gassiness, things like that. We have to ease our system into it, increase the ability of those bacteria to chew our fiber, get used to those prebiotics, increase our digestive enzyme capacity to break it down, all of this kind of stuff. So go gradually. In fact, if you're very new to it, I'll often recommend to clients to choose cooked vegetables only at first, because some of the fiber content is actually broken down, or smoothies or soups or something like that. Again, some of the fiber content is broken down, which you might think, well, that's a backwards recommendation, but we just don't want to hit it too hard right at the beginning. So gradually increase that fiber intake. Chew your food very well. I cannot stress this enough. Chew your food very well when you're increasing your fiber intake. That helps digestion so much. And also drink plenty of water. Fiber is very supportive of GI function, but if we increase our fiber without having adequate water, that can kind of go the wrong way. So make sure you're hydrated. All right, best high fiber foods. I mean, basically any plant food, I'm going to say, but let's break down a few of the very, very top of the top. For fruits, berries, apples, pears, and oranges are among the top for fiber. For vegetables, leafy greens, broccoli, carrots, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, kale, all of these are among the top for fiber. Any vegetable, though, has fiber, promise you that. I didn't mention avocados in fruits, but they are a fruit, and those are exceptionally high in fiber. So let's add those to the list. Whole grains, oats, quinoa, brown rice, millet, any grains like that. Legumes, beans, lentils, chickpeas, those all have great amounts of fiber. Nuts and seeds, especially almonds, chia seeds, and flax seeds, but any nuts and seeds have some fiber as well. So how do we get more fiber? I recommend starting with a fiber-rich breakfast. Just like I'll always say throughout the day, protein and fiber, protein and fiber, protein and fiber. For breakfast, it's hard to get protein and fiber. Most of our breakfasts are Pop-Tarts or bagels or something without a lot of protein and fiber. But if we start the day with a fiber-rich breakfast, like a breakfast casserole, breakfast hash, crustless quiche, veggie scramble, all these things that you see me eating on my Instagram or veggie-packed smoothie, definitely great way to get in there. Or even something like overnight oats topped with berries and nuts, something like that, does have great fiber content. So we really want to start the day with fiber. Now, incorporating fruits and vegetables into every meal and snack is always a goal for my clients and myself. We want more and more opportunities to load up on the fiber from vegetables and fruits. Choose whole grains over refined grains whenever possible. I mean, it is huge, the difference in fiber content between like a bowl of brown rice versus a slice of brown rice bread or something like that. The brown rice bread still does have some fiber, but we are reducing the amount of fiber as we process the grains more. So the more whole grain, the better. Snacking on raw veggies with hummus or nut butter or guacamole or salsa or whatever, that's a great fiber boost. Experimenting with new recipes that feature beans, lentils, other legumes. You'll see probably since I went to that conference called Physicians Committee on Responsible Medicine, maybe back in October of 2023 or sometime around then, time is a little bit of a blur, but sometime around then, I went to this conference that really was emphasizing the importance of beans and sharing all kinds of research. And I think you'll see if you look at my Instagram since then, that more and more of my recipes do include chickpeas and beans and lentils. And that's just honestly because I forgot about them. I didn't prioritize them, but I was reminded of all of the benefits. So you'll definitely see those being more prevalent recently, and that will continue in my food prep. And then last tip to increase more fiber, try soups or stews or chilies. They're such an easy way to pack in tons of veggies, even for what I will say, those new to veggie loving. Another way to say that would be veggie haters, but no one out there is a veggie hater. We're just maybe new on our journey to veggie loving. All right, couple more things before we wrap up. We're going to talk about should we take fiber supplements and then what lab results you might see improve when you increase your fiber. So should you take fiber supplements? Okay, let me just say it straight out. Whole foods are the best sources of fiber. I'll say it one more time. Whole foods are the best sources of fiber. However, some people might find it challenging to meet their fiber needs. So a lot of patients, as I review their lab results, I'm like, whoa, this person needs fiber. And yet their digestive system is not quite up to snuff in order to handle everything they need. So how do we bridge the gap? How do we get a little more fiber in them without having them eat 10 cups of broccoli per day? And a fiber supplement can help in some of those cases. It's also quite convenient. However, it's really important to choose supplements that are made from whole foods fiber sources. None of this artificial stuff that has, I don't know, colors and flavorings and numbers and chemicals and whatever. That is increasing the toxins just as we increase our ability to expel them. So it's not my favorite option. Also, some of these like fiber supplements I've seen with sorbitol and whatever else, that can increase digestive discomfort. So we don't want that. When it comes to my individual patients, it really depends on their gut health, their symptoms, their lab work as to which type of fiber I recommend. But a safe place to start, if you check the blog post that is in the show notes of this episode, it will link to a plain flavored psyllium husk. Psyllium is that weird word you may have seen that says that starts with P-S-Y, psyllium. Or a flavored one. I'll link to both of those in the blog post, which you can find in the show notes. So if you're looking for a fiber supplement, those are the ones I would recommend. Now, finally, what improvements in lab results might you see with increased fiber? A ton, basically. I mean, I can't even list them all right here. But cholesterol levels, since we mentioned them before, I'll hit on here. Soluble fiber does bind to that cholesterol in the digestive tract, which lowers LDL, which is, quote, the bad cholesterol, and improves our overall cholesterol profile. You can see if you head to that blog post link in the show notes as well, That will have a link to my overall take on cholesterol and how to improve various metrics and whether you even need to it. So all that need to do that. So all that information is at the link in the show notes. Blood sugar levels, you will see improvement. Fiber slows the absorption of sugar into the bloodstream, leading to improved insulin sensitivity, more stable blood sugar, all of that. Inflammatory markers. So if you've seen my post on the four lab tests you might be missing, which is one of my more popular blog posts, and you, that's also linked in the link in the show notes, but you can always DM me for any of these links if you can't find them. High fiber diets are, well, let me say back to that blog post of four lab tests you might be missing. One of the most important ones is HSCRP, or high sensitivity C-reactive protein. And high fiber diets are associated with lower levels of inflammation. So this is a really great way, one of many ways that I work with people on, to reduce our HSCRP. Gut health, very important if you're testing your microbiome through a stool test or anything like that. Fiber-rich diets are definitely going to support a healthy microbiome. And this, as we said, leads to improved mood regulation, immune sensitivity, all of this kind of good stuff. So overall, incorporating more fiber-rich foods is such a powerful step towards basically all of your health goals, your overall well-being, your longevity, your disease risk, your gut health. All of this kind of stuff improves when we increase fiber. But start gradually, increase steadily, chew your food very well, and watch your health improve overall. I hope you feel inspired to add more fiber as a result of this episode, and I hope you have a wonderful week. Well, hello there, friend. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Wellness Your Way as much as I enjoyed delivering it to you. I care so much about delivering the best quality information to you through this platform and all the work that I do. And if you're finding what you need right here from this podcast, then great. Share it with a friend, because that really, really helps more people find Wellness Your Way, and then move on. But if you need a little more customization and direction on how to actually take the strategies you learn here and apply them realistically to your life, then I invite you to consider a LionShare one-to-one program. I've taken my over 10 years of experience, that's over 12,000 direct one-to-one hours with clients just like you, and I've refined my approach to get the best results for people and give you the information you actually need to build sustainable health solutions. I now have a team of amazing people, four fantastic women working for me directly, with two of them being nutritionists who help me serve you. And we are ready to serve you in 2024. You can snag a free initial consultation just to chat with me about your goals and see if you're the right fit for our programs. Just go to bit.ly/lions initial consultation, L-Y-O-N-S, initial consultation, all lowercase, no spaces, bit.ly/lions initial consultation. The link is also in the show notes for you to set up that free chat. I can't wait to talk with you soon and make 2024 your year to finally feel your realistic, sustainable, healthiest self. Thanks for listening to another episode of Wellness Your Way with Megan Lyons. I always love connecting with listeners, so be sure to follow me on social media. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss brand new episodes each week. If you love Wellness Your Way, please leave us a rating and review. I appreciate it so much. Stay well, and I'll be back next week. The Wellness Your Way podcast is provided for information only and should not be misconstrued as medical advice. Please consult with your physician or otherwise qualified practitioner on any matters regarding your health and well-being, or on any opinions expressed within this podcast or the LionShare website.